Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Wooden Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. And tonight we have Dre of Crafts with Dre. What's going on?
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
Good.
Fantastic. Before we get to Dre, we'd like to thank our sponsors. I'll take the time to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com and use code WH, you can save 10% off all your power carving needs. I use them. You should too.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. You can find them at maritimeknifesupply.ca and .com.
If you go to Chapman Manufacturing, you can pick yourself up a nice screwdriver set, all-in-one screwdriver set from Chapman Manufacturing. We have a code for that. I believe it's Working Hands. We'll save you 10% off your order there.
It's proudly 15, actually.
Oh, 15%. Even better. Yes. Look at that.
Nice.
Proudly made here in the US of A. Go pick up yourself a nice professional screwdriver set. So, Dre, what is going on?
Nothing.
Tell us the goods.
Oh, man.
You're Insta-famous now.
I'm a household name, you know?
You are a household name. Millions of views globally. It's fantastic.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it. I was like, oh, it sounds like she's doing pretty good. And then I looked tonight and I'm like, what the? Like, it was 36,000, I think it said?
Something like that. Yeah. Somewhere like, around there.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I think I posted it, what, January 9th or something like that. And the fact that I was at like 6,000 followers then. So
I just looked, you're at 35.8 as we record this.
It's insane.
That is insane.
Yeah. All over like one very simple 11-second video.
It's the right amount of attention span.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, so it's funny because I was looking at the, you know, the insights where you have like retention, you can actually look at your retention rate. And even at the very like end of the video, I think I took a screenshot. I want to say it was like in the 70 something percent actually sustained their attention for that long, which is really crazy.
I posted a video tonight.
76.
Nice. I posted a video tonight and the 11 seconds actually stood out to me because that's what it showed my watch time was.
Nice.
Not watch time, but the average watch was 11 seconds.
Yeah.
It was like, it shows you people's attention span.
Yeah.
Where did you see that? On Insights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gave me it on the Insights.
I got to look into that.
Yeah, it shows quite a lot nowadays. Like, so now you can actually see out of all of the watches that you have, you can see which of those watches are like replays, and it's kind of cool. So at one point, I was getting really ticked that I couldn't see like when I actually had posted something, and now they finally have it where you can see like what day that you posted, which is really nice.
Yeah, there's mine. It shows average watch time 11 seconds, and I won't focus on it. But
yep.
Is that just for that reel?
Just for this one, the sanding reel that I put up. 30-second video, 11-second retention.
It's crazy. It is. It's really crazy. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, it's crazy that they just can't sustain their attention for that long. It's really sad. So on this one, just for, I'm going to give you guys the insights on this so far. Okay. The accounts reached 18 million.
Wow.
Wow.
That's incredible. That's real interactions, 443,000. Initial plays, 19 million. Replays, 12 million.
That's insane.
Wow. Yo, I can't even give you, what is this? So watch time total. I can't. 48,000 hours. I don't know what that comes out to because it doesn't even, I mean, at that point, why wouldn't they put it in days, right?
Yeah, that's, well, a year of work is 2,000 hours.
How many hours was it?
48,937.
That's 5 years. Five and a half years. Over 5.5 years. 5.6 years.
Can you guys? I can't even wrap my brain around these numbers.
Wait. Let me pull up another calculator here just to see if I'm right on that. All right. All right. What was the hours again?
48,937 hours.
48,937 divided by 8760 is 5.58 years of watch time.
Wow.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So here's the other thing. So if you think about out of the likes that we have on it, right, 428,000 likes, saves 9,000 saves, shares 5,744, and then 351 comments. Like, that's a crap ton.
Now, no offense, right? I save things all the time, right? Like, if it's a cool thing, I think maybe I want to build one day or something.
Mm-hmm.
You dipped a rose into a can of gold paint, right? Who saves that?
So, okay, in my eyes, so personally, as an artist, I will save things I have in my Instagram. I have it kind of categorized. So I have like saves for like recipes, and I have saves for like places that I want to go. And then I also have like my inspiration folder. So for some people, and a lot of the comments on there, not a lot of them, because a lot of them were like hate comments. A lot of people were really mad that they didn't get to see the end product. So they were really ticked about that. But a lot of people had mentioned that they were thinking about either painting a rose gold or painting a flower gold and like thinking of ways to do it. So for me, like I said, like I save stuff that inspires me. So I think for some artists, if that's something that inspires them, then it's a lot easier for them to just like go through those saved videos. You know what I mean? When they're feeling like they need that inspiration. That's the way that I look at it. Personally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It just seems wild to me, though.
Oh, like, I mean, believe me. Do you understand how many times people have, like, you know, messaged me and they're like, congrats, Dre. Like, this is awesome. I'm like, yeah, it's great. And I'm like, but do you realize that the video is just an 11-second video of me dipping a flower into gold paint, you know? And it's funny because Kamani and I actually are messaging back and forth because he's also had like some really awesome success. So it's funny because, you know, Kamani does more like woodworking and he does some epoxy stuff and he's starting to dabble into other areas, but he did an IT video, you know, and like that's his thing that popped off for him where he's gotten, you know, plenty of views and now gotten to like 10K and up. I think this morning it was at like 13K.
Awesome.
But, you know, it's crazy that sometimes it's just the most random things that can take off for you, you know?
Yeah. The last thing I saw of Kamani's was where he was looking around like, I posted every day for a year. I don't see all these followers. And he's like looking around looking for them. So
yeah,
it's nice to see it paying off for somebody who's been putting in the effort.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. He's a solid guy too. So he's very like deserving of it. You know, he's a good egg. Can you guys hear this clock that's ticking right now?
No.
Okay. No. I feel like now, Keith, you're going to be like.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay, good.
Is my mic muting when I cough?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's still showing up on the waveform down below. And I was like, uh-oh.
No, you were fine.
That shouldn't be.
No, you were good.
Yes, that's pretty wild, though, that you're blowing up.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah. You know, it's weird because, like, now I just get a lot of, like, really weird messages in my, like, requests inboxes now. And I'm like, you know, I never used to have that. And now I'm also seeing the part that's really sad is that a lot of people are randomly like stealing the video, either like screen recording it, or I don't think I have it where you can like download it through Instagram, but people are reposting it. And like some people are putting like angry faces all over it because they didn't see the end. And I'm like, man, like these people really need to kind of chill.
Yeah. If they're tagging you though, that's cool. If not, then.
Yeah. I mean, so they're tagging me, but at the same time, it's like, you know, they're angry. So it's like, for me, I'm like, I'd rather not be tagged almost at that point. But then they're also getting like a crap ton of views as well on them. So that's the other interesting part, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Which means that in your 5.5 years, that video has been watched probably 15, 20 years from all the other repost accounts.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I like the thing that Indrizzy makes, the blue sweatshirt guy.
Yes. Oh, my God. I've been Tips dying laughing. Ray.
Yeah,
yes.
He called me and he's like, I have an idea. I don't know if it'll upset Dre or not. I was like, she's going to love it. Just kidding.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, good, because I filmed a few. I'm gonna post.
Oh my god, there's more. There's more.
There's more. Yeah, yeah. So I employ everyone to get in on the Dips with Dre. I'm gonna do one soon. A Dips with Dre video.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting. It's definitely gonna be interesting to see what comes out there. You know.
And me, like a jerk, I was painting a room today, and I didn't do a Dips with Dre video.
What?
Like an idiot.
Oh, you know, I like the idea that you had earlier. I think it was you that was on Clubhouse or was it? I don't know who the heck it was, but they were talking about dipping your whole hand. Like you have the glove on, like the way that Austin did it in his.
Yeah, and just threw it. Yeah. I think that was Ben. That wasn't me.
Yeah. You just got to go for it.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm happy for all your success and everything and your Insta fame, but that's not why we have you on.
Oh.
Yeah. You are teaching a class coming
yes.
up.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So.
Is this going to be in How to Dip a Rose in a Pot in Paint?
So, strangely enough, we're probably going to do that where we're going to have it set up so that if people want to do their own rose dip video, we will have Total Gold available where people can record it on their own phones if they end up going to the class. So,
did you hear that, Andrizzy Makes? He can go dip with Dre with Dre.
You too could do dips yeah. with Dre for sure.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Epoxy class at the Makerspace at the Blackthorn Resort where the Maker Camp is held.
Correct. Yep. In Eastern New York, at the Blackthorn Resort. So it's going to be February 9th to the 11th, which I'm very excited about, of this year, 2024. but I love that spot. It's such an awesome little makerspace where, I mean, we had a class there last year. It went really, really well. It is honestly just so much fun being in a smaller, intimate setting. Versus I feel like at the Maker Camp, it's awesome for people to kind of like, you know, be passing by. It is a little like chaotic to learn like and have a more intimate setting when you have so many distractions that are happening. So that's kind of why I love the class because it's such a small group of people. They have more opportunities to ask questions. Of course, you know, time length-wise, you have so much more time to actually ask those questions. It's pretty much the whole weekend long. So and plus we get to like hang out and have fun in our downtime, which even just that in itself is so much fun.
Yeah. I think I've said it on Clubhouse, but I consider the Maker Camp like the hors d'oeuvre buffet of all the different things that you can learn up there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then during the winter they do these deep dive classes, whether it's the Group Forge project or the leather classes, the silversmithing, or the epoxy that you do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And I love that Austin has made that an opportunity for a lot of these makers. The fact that he is like pulling people from all over, even just having Dennis from 21 Grams, him being able to come here and teach with Ethan is really, really cool. So I'm excited for that. And Curgis also will be having a class. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I wish I could go to every single one of them. Cause honestly, I probably would if I could, but,
I am trying this year.
I know. It's so much fun. They're just so much fun. You know, it really is such a blast.
The epoxy one though is real tough for me, but I'm going to try and pull it off.
Yeah. I think you could do it. I think we could figure it out.
The wife's away. So I got to deal with the dog and then my parents are in from Florida that week. But only that week. So
oh yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Right. Listen, but, even if you come up for a day, it's worth it.
Well, yeah, that I'll probably do regardless. So, yeah. I'd like to take the whole class because I don't know anything about epoxy.
Yeah. And it's honestly, I think my favorite is just going like very much to the basics. You know, that first night we'll probably be doing, I don't know how much we'll really be able to do on that first night, but I definitely like to just kind of review like safety stuff because I think a lot of people just kind of think epoxy is one of those things where you just like do it, bing, bang, you know, like you're done. But there's so much more like science to it. So environmentally, that's a huge factor in it as well. But safety wise, like, you know, you really shouldn't be getting epoxy on your body, like that kind of stuff. So, but then just also technique, you definitely kind of have to learn some good techniques when you first start. And that's definitely a huge key to success for sure.
So you're giving everyone the keys to success with epoxy.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Yep. And then there's just so many different types of epoxy too. So we're going to be reviewing some of that. And then we're also probably going to also go over some Razo stuff.
Razo.
Yes. I love Razo. I love that you can kind of incorporate Razo and epoxy. I think that in itself is just like so much fun. So we might do some of those things as well.
I'm very interested in the Razo stuff. I think I would do Razo over epoxy.
Yeah.
If I was going to get into one of those.
Yeah. I think the texture of it is like the best part. As long as you have really smooth molds, you can get like such a like marbly kind of a texture to it, which is satisfying. Funny because at Maker Camp, I think I just kept like handing things out to people and I'm like, just touch it. Like, please.
I was just going to say that skull.
Please,
you
just feel
me.
It, you know?
But like that one skull, like it just feels awesome. There's a good weight to it. It's not overly heavy, but it's not lightweight where it feels cheap. Like it's a cool substance. I don't know what I would use it for, but learning how to use it would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And that's one of those things. Same thing for me. It's like, I want to make so many things, but I also know that like there's a fragility to it when it boils down to it. Like if you make something that's too thin, you can just like snap it in half. Cause it is almost like a plaster of Paris kind of a material where it's like very thin. But it's fragile. It's definitely fragile. That's why it's nice that you can incorporate epoxy with it to kind of give some sort of structure to it. And for me, it kind of makes me feel like, okay, if this does accidentally go flying out of my hands, it might have a chance.
Yeah. Accidentally flying out of your hands is the key.
It's never happened.
It's totally happened. It's totally happened. I just like sometimes have these weird twitches where I just launch stuff across my shop. Lucas has definitely, unfortunately, heard me just swearing from the other room. But yeah, it's happened. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, my wife has to endure the same problem, so it's fine.
Yeah, I'm just
always
clumsy.
Swearing from a different room.
Yeah. Lucas actually for Christmas bought me he bought me this water bottle that suctions to the table. And if you knock into it, it like won't fall over. It's awesome.
I had a coffee mug like that, but if you lift it straight up, then it
comes right. Yeah. So honestly, it's been like my favorite thing, especially being at work. I have like a laptop and an iPad that are just like right next to each other at my desk. So it's one of those things where I'm like, me being as clumsy as I am, I just always run the risk of potentially destroying electronics. So, yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Tony, how's your table going? Are we epoxying that? What's happening?
No epoxy. I've been asked that a few times. I said that if I was doing that stuff a bit more often, like ever, seeing how I've never done it.
Or maybe I'm like come down for a class and we just use your table and I'll do it for you.
I think February 9th to the 11th sounds pretty good. Huh?
Yep. Yeah.
Sounds like an opportunity to get it done for free.
Yeah. I'm liking the way it's turning out right now. So I don't want to change. I'm kind of set my course. I had thought about the epoxy thing, but then once I started peeling the bark out of it and then seeing there's some interesting layers that are in the openings, I'll try and get some pictures of them later, but it's made it a very interesting thing. So I think I'm going to leave it as is. I'm going to finish it, but it, and I don't know. I'll probably just do a standard finish on it, but we'll see how it goes. Right now it's just sanding and more sanding and sanding.
Are you losing your mind? Sanding?
Well, I got about 4 or 5 hours in on it today of I got a couple picks from Amazon so I can pick at the bark, and then I'm just using those sanding drums on a Dremel right now, which is working really well for what I'm doing on the outer side of it, or the outside of it. The inside of it's going to need some more attention, which is it's going to be a time suck, but it's it's worth it, because every when I'm on my days off, I get 2 to 3 hours in on it a day kind of thing. So I'm trying to, it's not one of my smallest projects I've ever done. It's probably the biggest project I've ever attempted at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely seems. So I was trying to prep a piece of wood, and I honestly, it's funny because I was like trying to think about it. I don't think I actually ever ended up using the piece of wood. I was just like going to town on it because I'm one of those people who like loves menial kind of tasks. But I didn't get to the sanding part. So like me just kind of like picking away at stuff and like getting like the bark out of the way and like cleaning the wood up. To me, I was like, this is great. And then like you get to the sanding and I'm like, no, like I'm not. Nope. No, like I just do not like this at all.
Yeah. So right now, like the sanding that I'm doing is more or less is I'm taking that last little bit of color from the bark off. And it's just it's such a battle at this point, because I'm fighting that edge of like just sanding everything and just being completely flat and smooth, or taking my time, which I'm doing, and trying to keep every curve and every kind of shape that's in that in that piece. I'm trying to keep everything. I'm not keeping everything because it's impossible, because hell, when I was chiseling stuff off, all of a sudden you'd run into a piece of like of the sapwood and you'd be like, why is that here? It doesn't make sense because of the way the bark was kind of formed in together.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some stuff that was lost, but it's for the most part, like I'm trying to keep as much shape and figure that's in the piece. So
yeah. Yeah. But that's what makes it, you know what I mean? So I'm happy that you're doing that and you're not just like,
yeah. I mean, if I wanted to get it done, I could grab a router bit and just router out holes in the center and be like, yeah, that's natural.
right.
But no, it's trying to keep it as close to that. And then like there's some cracks that are really, really tight that like I'm only going to be able to get through with the pick, and they're not going to be as clean because it's all I can do with a pick. But I'm not going to take a Dremel tool or anything like that and make it bigger just to clean it out. Like I like having that smaller space in there too.
Now, where did this wood come from?
From a buddy, actually patron, bought it well before the podcast, I think. It was Nick Brown, a buddy of mine. And, we got a piece of walnut from him. And then as people do, he's like showing me around his shop and all this stuff. And then there was a pile of these birch cookies one of them I got. And I'm like, when he showed me, he said, yeah, I got a few of these. He's probably got 10 or there's probably like 10 or 15 of them. I was like, well, when you're done, like when they're all milled and kiln dried, let me know and I'll get one.
Yeah.
And he let me know and I picked one up. So, but I've had it for, I want to say it's been probably 3 years.
Wow.
So yeah, it's, it really has been one of those projects that I'm just like, I don't know if I want to start that yet.
No, so. I mean, listen, it looks good so far, honestly. And it's funny because I was scrolling through my feed and, of course, your post just came up and I saw that somebody had commented something along the lines of like, I was scrolling through, I was going to scroll past this, but then I saw who had posted it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be better. Just trying.
Listen, you always start off the year very strong.
But then about May I do really good, and then it really peters off after that.
That's okay, honestly. It's social media, it's one of those things. And I was kind of talking about it on Clubhouse earlier about how I feel like now I'm like nervous to post anything because of now that I have all of these followers, I'm like, man, I feel like if I post, people are just going to like click the unfollow button now. It's just one of those like kind of imposter syndrome-y kind of a situations going on. But
yeah, I get that. But you look at what Chris and Austin are doing. Like they're trolling the trolls at this point. And right. Nobody, yeah, sure. Maybe they're getting some unfollows, but they're gaining more than they're losing. That's for
right.
sure.
Right. It's funny. Austin, I think he was at 98. Right now, 98.9, something like that.
Yeah.
It's almost there.
Hopefully he's there by the time this airs.
Yes. Fingers are crossed. I think he's going in the right direction. For sure.
He puts out a quality piece every time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He puts a lot of time into every piece. Yeah, 98.9 is what I'm showing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Every piece of content he puts out, he tries to be... I mean, some of them are a little trolling, but he's trying to be positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I like the educational piece for me personally. Like, I love the accounts that I know that I can learn something at some point, whether it's in the caption. I'm somebody who I always read captions. I just always will. I don't know what it is, but I like to actually see what it is that people have to say. Or I know a lot of people, the thing that I notice a lot is, and some of the videos that I gravitate towards are the ones that have their captions, so that whatever it is that they're saying, I can, without having to listen to it, for me to actually be able to just like read it on the screen and learn whatever it is that you're showing in your video, that is also valuable for me personally. I like that.
Yeah, I'm more like the problem with the, I'm the problem with this world. I have no attention. I do not read. But I'm very a visual learner, so that's my biggest thing. I don't want to read it. I want you to tell it to me or show me, like physically see what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's just
see, like, but a multi-sensory approach here, right, is you listening to it, reading it on the side, and watching it happen all at the same time. Like those three things for me, I'm like, all right. I'm learning things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't discount it. I think it's to each their own.
Keith, what were you going to say?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Captions, no closed captions. Caption.
I've tried some of the captions because I hear like you guys talk about that and how some people gravitate towards the caption ones and you get better view. I try it all and none of it works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just like whatever.
I hate doing voiceovers, so that's why I quite literally have zero voiced over anything. It's one of those things where like I've actually heard of people that they don't like my voice. So it's one of those things where I don't like to like...
Tony, let's close up this podcast. Quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'm in the boat of I don't like the sound of my own voice. I sound like when I hear myself talk, I think I sound like an idiot. So I do a podcast. So that's, you know, well, for the longest time,
make what you fear, Tony.
Yeah. For the longest time, having the feedback loop into my ears threw me off. Hearing my own voice now, I need it, or it throws me off now, because the other day we had a glitch during a podcast and it threw me off because I couldn't hear what I was saying. I couldn't tell that the mic wasn't getting the feedback from the mic saying that, you know, it was picking me up kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe now I'd be okay with it, but
it's funny because I even if I'm singing, I can never have like both headphones on my ears. Like I just can't. It's one of those things where like I have to be able to actually like hear my own personal feedback. I don't know what it is, but yeah. I can't have both ears covered. It's just one of those things. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have headphones on all day, so.
Right.
I'm probably going to lose my hearing in the next year or so.
Yeah, but like it's one thing if I'm just listening to things. It's another thing if I'm actually talking, you know what I mean? Like that's what I think that it is. I don't know. It's weird. Definitely weird.
Yeah. Getting back to the I guess it's, is it called the captions still, even though there's captions on reels?
Yeah.
The writing part, the caption part?
Yeah, I would call it, because closed captioning versus captions.
Yeah, I never understood the word closed and closed captioning.
That's a very, yeah, I don't know.
Where does that stem from, closed captioning?
I don't know.
What's the etymology on that?
Isn't it because you can have them on if you want, but you can shut them down if you don't? I thought that was...
That would make sense.
I don't know. I think that's how it was explained to me one day, and I just never really...
The term closed indicates that the captions are not visible until activated by the viewer.
Tony.
Usually via the remote control or menu option. On the other hand, the terms open, burned in, baked on, hard-coded, or simply hard indicate that the captions are visible to all viewers as they are embedded in the video. So we're doing hard captioning on our stuff, not closed captioning on a reel.
Very interesting.
So we have been wrong at the beginning of this podcast. Wow. Fact checking is supposed to be done by Lucas on every episode, but
yeah,
in this
what the heck, Lucas?
In this one, we caught us halfway through, so he can ease off on that for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I did in the caption of one of mine, I did an experiment where I wrote something about the song that was playing, and nobody, not one person commented on it. I'm like, all right, people are not reading my captions, so we will move on.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it depends on your audience too. You know what I mean? Like for mine, I feel like, well, at least prior to this most recent video, a lot of my followers, like I try to do like educational stuff in my captions. You know what I mean? So a lot of times I can tell, I also like to always have a little question in there. So that's when I can really tell whether or not people are paying attention to the closed captioning. But yeah, kind of depends on the people.
I like the people that do like a 3-second reel or something. It's like, this is how I do it. Read the caption below. And then the caption is like 9 paragraphs long.
Yes.
And it's just the trick to get me to watch it over and over and over again and get that view count up.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm happy that Instagram, at least for my version that I have on my phone, you can like tap it and it actually pauses the video. So I really like that feature because for me to hear that audio like on loop, like a 3-second audio on loop going over and over again makes me kind of like go insane, but I want to read the caption. See?
Well, you can also mute the reel too.
Yeah, but sometimes I don't want to give the satisfaction of getting the view counts up. Like I'm that petty.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I think I've had, and it might be with the phone that I have because it has said there's some face recognition stuff on it that it'll shut down the screen if I'm not looking at it. Yeah. So sometimes I'll have a reel that'll keep playing and playing and playing and playing. And then other times I'll be the same situation, but it'll play it once and then shut it down. Mm-hmm. I don't get if it's maybe thinks I'm not paying attention to the screen kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or
I had to turn that off on mine. I don't like it.
A version of mine, and I don't know how to fix it, is it plays it once. And then if I want to watch it again, I got to press watch again.
Mine plays twice. That's really interesting. Yeah. But I also don't know if it's the length of the reel. That could be another thing.
Yeah, and maybe that's what's throwing it off. Or
I don't know. Yeah.
I didn't analyze it that deep.
I don't know how it works.
It's kind of frustrating that we all have like kind of different versions of Instagram, though. You know?
Of all of them. It doesn't, not just Instagram. It seems like everybody has something different with all of these social media apps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've tried TikTok and I can't figure out how that app works.
I honestly just don't like it. Like for me, I have the account. I think my phone offloaded it because I don't use it enough. So it's still there, but I don't know. It's one of those things where TikTok, I could kind of like, I think in my mind, I like the community on Instagram when it boils down to it. And I like the stuff that I follow on there. And like TikTok, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I always felt like anything that I was like just kind of flipping through, it was so random because it just hadn't learned like my interests yet, you know? So I just would get so frustrated and I didn't really understand how to like, you know, I don't want to see any more of this. Like I didn't know where the button was, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like a free for all on there versus like my Instagram's pretty curated to like art and cat videos.
Cats with Dre.
You got it. Dips with Dre, Cats with Dre.
Dips with Dre is my favorite, though.
Yeah. That's
I need to do a Dips with Dre video tomorrow.
It's just so weird. It's so weird. For those of you interested, as listeners, feel free to just go search the hashtag Dips with Dre. It's very interesting.
I know Matt is doing it and Drizzy Makes, but is anyone else jumping on board?
Paul. Yet? Paul has done one. I don't know if he used the hashtag, but.
Oh, he did do one?
Oh, yeah.
What's that? 11.16. What's Woodworks, his account?
Right.
Woodworks. Yeah, I wanted to say that, but I'm like, it throws me off because I
think
of
him. Sounds very generic.
Yeah. And every time I think of Paul, I think of him as a photographer. And I'm like,
yes. Yeah.
Is it 1116 photography or 1116 Woodworks? I know he's only doing 3D printing right now. So, like,
see, for me, it's like he always used to send me like, Dre, I'm doing epoxy. You know what I mean? So like that's how I think of him, but then also photography as well. But he did one that I will not, I will let you guys see it. I will not ruin it for you. mostly because it might not be wicked appropriate.
I want to see it now.
I will give you, go ahead. You can go and look at it right now. It's actually pretty funny.
Where do I look at it?
On his, it's on his profile. 11.16, I believe, Woodworks.
It is Woodworks. Yes, I looked it up. Do I need the sound on?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, everyone needs to go look at this.
Yeah.
I like that somebody said the paint should have been blue.
Oh, it should have been.
So opportunity missed.
He's dunked into that paint.
Yeah.
Get your mind out of the gutter. Just go look at it. It's fantastic.
Yep. Oh, that's good so stuff. You know, it's just catching on.
I love it. I thought the sausage weird. One from the blue sweatshirt guy was pretty funny.
I just kind of like was like bleh. Like I don't know. That was the one that kind of got me a little bit. But now I'm curious. I didn't realize that there are more. I had no idea. Now I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just so bleh. That's the part. That's the part that I'm like, bleh.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I could only watch it like once and then I was like, okay.
It still makes you laugh though.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I love that he started it with the broccoli and the dip though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actual dips with Drake, get it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I thought it was perfect.
We did one with wings too.
Yeah.
Yes. That one looked delicious. I'm not going to lie. Now I'm drooling. Thank you.
He's funny. I can't wait to see what he's got next.
Yeah. I can only imagine. Yeah. I feel like I was trying to just take a page out of Lucas's book because he, I feel like, had the original dip. When he did his evaporust dips, yeah. I feel like those always did so well. And I feel like I had seen him do that and I was like, I have this gold paint. What can I do? So just kind of took a page out of his book, but I really didn't think that it would kind of get that big. And I've done, I think, 3 of them now. And I have them, 2 of them are pinned, and then 1 obviously is the most recent one. But it's just pretty wild how far they've kind of popped off. So I'm not mad. It's worth it. Yeah, totally. The only thing that kind of stinks is I feel like that paint is like contaminated now. I'm like, I feel like I might need a new can. I don't know.
It'll be fine. A little bit of pollen goes a long way, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's a valid point. Yeah, I don't think I like lost any petals in it, so I think we're okay.
Only 11-second reel. Like they don't need to see the final result. So,
I actually just posted it right before we came on here. There was a there were quite a few comments, like I said earlier, that they were wanting to see the end result. And I was just like, you want to know what? Like, I, in my mind, it's funny because I keep being like, Lucas, I think it's dying down. And he's like, no, it's not. But in my mind, I feel like it's dying down. So I just gave the people what they wanted. I gave them the end result. So I did post it so people wouldn't be so mad. Keith's shaking his head.
I would have laughed it. I would have laughed it.
You know, for the past three of them, so like somebody actually was very mad. They were like, you have three videos like this where you have not shown any of the results for any of them. And I was like, all right, like I understand. That's, I would be pretty ticked. You know, I've been following this account where they're making a massive, they're calling it a snow dome, aka, I guess, I don't know if it's, you can call it an igloo anymore, but they made it out of colored ice and it looks so stinking cool. And that's an account that I just started to follow. And I'm like, I want to see the end result. You know what I mean? So now I kind of, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum and I'm like, I kind of understand it now. I get it. I get the frustration. Would I flip out on somebody that I don't know via a comment? No. I can't say I'd ever be like that crazy, but,
Yeah, yeah, I don't get that whole side of being so emboldened to like demand something on the other side of it. It's just like,
yeah, it's really honestly very strange. You know what I mean? Because I feel like so many people don't understand, like, I'm a human being, you know, so like, please don't yell at me because I didn't show you the end of, you know, me dipping a flower into paint. Like, what the heck, you know?
We've all watched videos of something that you're like, I wish they would have had a different angle, but that's where you leave it.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
You don't go berate the person. And if you want to go ask them for a different angle, then yeah, do it politely.
Right. Right. Yeah. But unfortunately, yeah, it's kind of crazy because it's honestly, it's in all different languages. So that's the other thing that's pretty wild is like seeing all of the different, the video is being seen from everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a crazy thing to think about as well, you know?
It's just crazy how one video can get 5.5 years of views.
My mind is, like, literally just blown. The fact that you mathed that out. Like, it's, like, kind of crazy to think about, you know?
Imagine the amount of watch time per day on that. Like, not on the, your particular, like, on everything. Like, how many... Wow, it'd be impressive to do the math on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just think about YouTube alone.
Yeah, that's what
Let alone people are watching on YouTube, on Instagram, everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I kind of hate, like, everyone's like, oh, we're in the video age. We're in the video age. But, like, I'm kind of over it, right? Like, there's times where I'm doing something and I want to learn something off the internet and I look it up. And it's something that could easily be answered in a text format. And I know... some things are just easier to do on video, but no one does any text anymore. It's always a video. Even if I get a news alert, like a news notification, and you click on it, and I've got to watch a video. Well, maybe I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, and the wife is next to me and doesn't want to hear the video, and I don't have headphones.
Right. Well, for me, that's like something at work that I can't stand. If something comes up and it's like, urgent, this just happened, and you can't read it, you have to watch a video on it, like that. Yeah. Really drives me insane because I'm like, now I have to like take time away when I could have just read like two sentences and been like, okay, we're not under attack. We're all right. You know what I mean? Like, it's something simple like that, you know? It's kind of stupid, but it's frustrating for sure. I feel like we definitely, so like for me personally, I know, so pretty much since Christmas, I really have not been in my shop. Today was like one of the first days that I've actually spent any sort of time in my shop. And, you know, I really, unfortunately, because I haven't been spending time in the shop, I really haven't been, I have been putting a lot of time into just watching videos on my phone. And that's, it's too much time when it boils down to it. Like, I either am on my phone watching a video or I am watching something on TV. And like, I need to just kind of like chill from that. And I don't know if it's just because I'm in like hibernation mode right now or what. Like to think that that's what it is because it's been cold as anything. But I kind of need to get away from it. I need to not get sucked into my phone.
I've been finding the same thing, actually. I have a I'll play online, like the cell phone games every now and again. Mm-hmm. And I'll go for a while where I'm playing them all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just getting out of that mode of playing them all the time. I just deleted a bunch of them off my...
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I still kept a few because I do like them as a little bit of a time killer here and there. But I bet you at one point in time I was spent, like, you count it in hours for sure on how much time, like, per game.
Like, yeah. So, no, I totally feel you. I know for
there goes
me,
a day.
It's funny. I have three apps. There are three apps that I am, like, obsessed with. Royal Match, Gardenscapes, and Homescapes, because that's the kind of girl that I am. They're very much like Candy Crush kind of games, but for me, at the end of my day, like, I am in healthcare. I work as an occupational therapist. So for me, at the end of the day, the last thing that I want to do is, like, think about stuff or, like, watch anything that requires my brain to actually be, like, concentrating for a significant amount of time. So games are my, like, de-stress, you know. But I totally understand, like, I could spend hours playing these games. Like, it's not okay.
Yeah, that's the line that I find sometimes is, like, it is a de-stress and kind of just a way to, like, decompress. But then at times it becomes like, oh, well, if I come back to it in 15 minutes, I can do this part and I can achieve this thing. And it's like,
mm-hmm. now competitions, it's like, I'm in.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'll go through streaks, and I've been playing these games for years now, but yeah.
I do play Royal Match.
Isn't it so addictive? I found out that one of like my patient's roommates, I'm like, yo, what level are you on?
what level are you on?
Dude, it's so bad. I don't even know. It's like up there.
I play that. I play Sudoku.
Yep.
Spider Solitaire, and then
yo, what level are you on though, for real?
and the wooden mustache got me back on Boom Beach recently, and that talk about Boom Beach is it's good, it's fun. But
listen, if you tell me what level you're on, I'll tell you what level I'm on.
No, because it's
come on, no judgment free.
3380.
All right. 2422.
Yeah. So you're close.
You got me beat.
Yeah.
That's okay.
The Super Bowl gets you.
America. USA. Yeah,
America. Once you get that Super Bowl, though, it's a problem because you just want to keep playing.
Oh, my God. Yes. You just shred through stuff, Tony. It might be one that you need to
shredding through levels.
No, I keep that's the one that keeps being pushed at me. Like, I always see that Royal Match one.
Because you're going to love it.
Yeah. That's the problem.
I got it when we went away. I think it was for the cruise, because you can play it offline. Like, there's no ads. You can play offline. It's just, I don't know how I guess they make money from people buying.
Yes. Oh, my God. So on my team, people were just like giving me these golden tickets, man, which means that they're like consistently buying those all the time.
Wait, what? Those teams?
Yeah. What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, my team is called Dark Vader.
I may have to join your team.
I don't even know if you can see
it. No, I'm on a team. Oh, yeah, I can see it. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way to continue to play is to request.
Well, exactly, yeah. You can ask for lives.
Oh, somebody just on my team just got a royal pass.
See?
This is podcasting gold, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
This is money.
What we should do is create a maker team.
Yo, I'd be down. I don't know how to make a team, but
I don't want people to know how much I play that game.
I'll just delete this whole section. Thank you. Delete.
No, it's what I play when I go to bed. I lay in bed. If I have a bout of insomnia and I can't fall asleep, that's the game I play.
Definitely. I have notoriously been up a couple of nights until like 3 o'clock in the morning just playing that game. And I'm like, I should probably sleep now.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably an hour a night when I'm laying there watching TV.
Yeah. Yep.
Playing that stupid game.
Yep. Ugh. That's also the thing. If I'm watching something on TV, I play that while I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. Because you don't need sound. It's not.
Yeah. I do the same.
Yeah.
Multitasking at its finest.
I'll put a movie on and the wife will yell at me, "You're not even watching it." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm watching."
Yeah, but like that's one of those games where you can pay attention. You know what I mean? While you're playing it, in my mind, I'm hearing everything. So yeah.
It's not like it's timed or anything. Like you can close the app and come back to it. So
right,
but it's a problem. Just like what Tony said, it's a distraction I don't need.
Yeah,
but. Yeah. Also, like you said, a stressful day at work or something, you sit down on the couch, you watch a TV, and your mind is doing something, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So my problem is instead of, like, you guys are talking about one or two games, I'll have, like, eight on the go. And it's all, like, just they keep rotating through. Like, you do one little achievement on one, and then you're done with that one for a bit. Then you roll into the next one, then into the next one, and it's like...
Well, so like I kind of also do that same thing, though. So it's like once I don't have any more lives in Royal Match, I'm like, OK, now we move on to Homescapes. And now as soon as I don't have any lives there, I go on to Gardenscapes. You know what I mean? So like I also rotate through them. It's really bad, but I need to not, like, this is the thing. I need to not.
For me, when I run out of lives, I'm done.
Really?
Yeah.
So I did the same thing with the Candy Crush trio, I guess there is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad because they hook you on the first go too. They give you, or if you came back after a long period of being away from the game, it's all of a sudden, here's like an hour full of free lives. And it's like, oh, damn it.
Yes. That's my favorite time. And then, that's my favorite hour.
Yeah. But then you look down and it's like, oh shit, that's been 3 hours.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's not great. It's definitely a huge time suck.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you, Tony. At least you're like, you know, deleting. Yeah. I go
through these phases and I'm just coming out of it now. So I think shortly here we'll be we'll be very productive here.
You know where everyone's time would be better spent?
Making things.
On Make What You Fear.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have been spending hours on that.
Tony. How about we get the rundown on Make What You Fear?
All right. Yes, so it's our yearly challenge now, I guess. Well, we kind of always figured it would be. But this year is more of a challenge yourself to a project or material you haven't used or a project that you have put off. Like that's where I'm at with mine is that I've put it off and put it off and put it off and finally... I'm going to do it. And then added to that, we're asking that everyone does 5 posts with us tagged, not just the hashtag, but actually tag us in the posts. I'm starting to see a few more posts here in the last week or so. So it's been good. And that way the story counts, I guess, in the way we're going to judge it. If you can fill us in on why or the what kind of thing. That'll help as far as judging the winner take all part of it.
Yeah. Why that project was challenging for you.
Yeah.
Was it the challenge in starting it? Was it the challenge in what you did? All that stuff. Put it in your post. What?
So.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It's funny because as Tony was just talking about like the requirements, right? So last year's Make What You Fear, you guys had one where it was supposed to be geared towards
active lifestyle.
Yeah. So I had started mine, but I did not finish mine. And
did you start it or did you just acquire what you needed?
No, listen to me. You guys don't even know. I swear to God, I feel like I haven't even listened to this video because I mean, I think I was just pretty much swearing like the entire time. So I'm not going to give you all of the details. Well, you want to not screw it. I'm going to give you the details. So last year in my mind, I wanted to make a kettlebell. And this is why it's important that I give you these details. I wanted to make a kettlebell, but I wanted to make it out of epoxy. And I wanted to do it by making a silicone mold of a kettlebell and then putting something in the epoxied kettlebell, right? So
were you going to do a rose?
Yes.
Like a golden rose?
So it wasn't going to be golden, but now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like it would only be fitting to do it. So what
like
happened was
King
actually...
Kingpin bowling ball?
That's what I had in my head.
So Adam from Uncle Sam Metalworks.
Yeah.
So he actually made a rose that was out of metal and gave it to me. And so I was going to use that. I was like, this is going to be so freaking awesome looking, you know? But I got to the point where I made the silicone mold. Oh my God. I made the silicone mold of the kettlebell. Now think about making a silicone mold. It needs to be something that can be removed from the silicone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it can't have any holes in it.
Right.
A kettlebell has a giant hole in it, right?
Yeah, it's got the handle.
Yeah,
it's
well,
the loop. Yep.
So I decided, I'm like, all right, Dre, let's try to like prevent, you know, anything from really like sticking together in the middle. I was like, what doesn't stick to silicone? I'm like, probably like, I would think packing tape. So I'm like, all right, let me put packing tape so that it kind of like closes that area. And then I was like, all right, if I pour the epoxy, I can just kind of like Dremel out that section and I'd be good. Well, the packing tape had a bunch of little like air kind of bubbles and like little pockets where the silicone could get into it. So when I tried to remove the kettlebell from the silicone, it was just so incredibly stuck. And I made this inside like a giant like Home Depot bucket. So me trying to fight with like that massive amount of silicone plus like trying to get that kettlebell out and then like trying to cut it away. I swear to God, I thought I was going to like lose a finger because I was just like angry cutting at that point. And then I think Lucas at one point helped me as well to try to take that out of there. And we're like basically wrestling with it. And that's the one where like, I'm pretty sure there's a video where all it is just like audio because we're now off of the video, just aggressively fighting the silicone mold and basically playing tug of war and like trying not to have each other like go flying off on the other side. You know what I mean?
I wish you had edited this and posted it.
Well, I have to go and try to find the video from last year. Yeah, I'll find it. I'll find it. It's long because it took, I want to say it was like probably 20 minutes just to get it out. It was bad.
That's fantastic.
So now I have a really weird silicone mold that it has like a bunch of tears in it. And it probably is like full of dust at this point because it's now pretty much like a year old. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if I decide to just finish that project, but it's going to be hilarious when I go to demold it. Like, there's no doubt about in my mind that it's just going to look like an absolute, like, nightmare of a piece. It's going to be jagged as anything. It's going to be probably really dangerous. I'm going to have to use, like, welding gloves to keep it from slicing my fingers open. It's going to be great.
Interesting, then.
Yeah.
So get after it, Jay.
Sounds like you got a good story.
Yeah, well.
So for the listeners, get out there, challenge yourself. Make what you fear. We have a ton of great sponsors on board for it. We have Maritime Knife Supply, our very own sponsor of the podcast, and Sabretooth. Gnome Hammer Forge is putting in a hammer set. We got Housemade.us is putting some stuff in. Total Boat's putting stuff in. Bow Shield T9 is putting stuff in. And you get a silver pass to the Maker Camp for the winter.
Wow.
Austin was generous enough to donate a silver pass.
That was very thoughtful. I love it.
So lots of fun prizes and should be very interesting.
Yeah. And if anybody has any epoxy questions, feel free to reach out. We'll see if I get to them. We kind of have a running joke right now that I am like the slowest to respond to messages on Instagram. So we'll see. We'll see if I get to them. But you can ask. So what kind of projects are already out there? What have you guys seen? Has anybody started yet?
Yeah, we have one that's finished.
Really?
Yeah, one finished.
One finished already. It was a coffee table made by Dead Rise Woodcrafts.
Might have to check it out.
He's generally a wood turner, so he made a whole wooden coffee table.
Very cool.
We have a lot of talk about different things.
Saw a leveling sled.
Yes. Yeah, from Marsh, right? Marsh Wildman.
Yep. And Brad Customs is look like a grandfather clock.
Yes. Did oh, he so sketch? He's the one. Yeah, he did like a sketch up of it, right? But it looks like it's suspended.
Yeah, I'm not sure the ins and outs of it, but it's pretty looks like a fun project anyways.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. But it's funny because that was like one of the first things, like as I'm watching him like rotate around on SketchUp, I'm like, what is it suspended by? Like, that's what my question is.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw the question, but maybe he's just going to have it suspended with fishing line, or maybe there's more to the design than just what he showed us. So
yeah, I have no idea. I was like, maybe he'll do epoxy. I don't know. Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Epoxy clock, everything.
Clock frozen in time.
Right?
There's a Kumiko project coming in.
Oh.
What's that?
From David Beckwith Makes.
Kumiko? Kumiko?
I could be pronouncing it wrong, but Kumiko is how I pronounce it. It's like that it's like that tiny wood that you cut in all the angles so it just fits in and it makes a pattern.
Oh, okay. I saw he was having some fun with a reel there, but he had all of his Make What You Sure projects and woke up and was running out to the shop. Yeah. It was pretty good.
That's awesome.
Joey's doing a office build out in his shop.
Yep.
Yes.
Joey Steelblade.
Yep.
This guy Tony's doing a coffee table.
Very excited for that one. Just waiting for him to epoxy it.
Overall Makerworks, Eric over at Overall Makerworks is getting into lapidary, which I'm very interested in.
What does that mean?
He's got to tag us though in his post. He hasn't. What's stone polishing, like stone cutting and polishing, like for jewelry?
Kind of like what you did, but like smaller.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? Because yours was huge. I loved that one. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but he's making cabochons, I think, for jewelry.
Very cool.
Yeah. I don't know if jewelry is part of his entry or not, but the stone part is, which is cool.
That's awesome.
So yeah, the one key factor is in those five posts, you have to tag us. And when I say tag us, I don't mean put us in the comments or in the caption. Actually physically choose the tag option when you go to post on Instagram. Choose the tag people and then choose Working Hands Podcast. If you don't do that, it's not an entry. So we may see it, we may not, but the only guaranteed way we'll see it is if we're tagged in it. And that's only, well, you don't want to do it that way. It's not like we're chasing your page or anything, but it's the only way that we know it'll work because hashtags are not great. And when we're spanning this over 3 months.
Yeah, they're very, very unreliable.
Yeah, they're unreliable these days. And Instagram tends to hide different people at different times, and I don't want to miss something 3 months from now. So if it's tagged, then it's on our profile.
Yeah. Well, even like your Dips with Dre one, I looked at it, there's only three showing, but I know there's like four or five on top of that.
Right.
So yeah, it just shows you how unreliable it is.
Right. Yeah. Especially people, if they tag anything in stories, like, unfortunately, I don't know, there are a lot of things I think that I even miss, especially because of just all the stupid notifications that I keep getting right now. Like, I'm missing a lot of stuff, which kind of stinks. And Instagram does this weird thing where if the comments happened like past like 6 hours, like anything from 6 hours and past that, like I can't see anything, which really stinks. And that's even just like comments. Even if somebody is like tagging me in a comment on a photo, like I can't see it, unfortunately. So I'm just going to apologize to the people.
We don't have that success that you have, but our problem is not on a daily basis. It's this.
Yours is going to be over the span of, multiple months.
It runs over the span of 3 months. Right. The only way we can be sure that we can see them all in a collective unit at the end is if you tag us in those five posts.
Yep.
We're going to hold you to the five posts too, because it's an easy way for us to weed us down. Right.
Right.
If the voting is close on two, but somebody only put in two posts and tagged us properly in two posts and somebody else did five, well, even if they were even, we know who's going to win because they follow the rules.
Right.
So it's just one of those things to help us narrow everyone down.
Oh, definitely. And that's definitely, like you said, reliability wise, in order for you to see everything, you know, it's nice that at least when things are tagged, you have that section. The other cool thing for your followers and listeners is the fact that for the people that are listening, if they want to go and check out any of the entries, they can just go right to your Instagram page. You go to the third tab on the right. So first is your grid, second is your reels, third is your tagged posts. So if you guys go and check out the tagged posts, you'll be able to see all of the Make What You Fear entries. So,
which is cool.
Yeah.
And if you want to invite us as a collaborator, we're going to accept it. But that's up to you. I don't care about that. That has nothing. It's neither here nor there. But
that could be cool. You know.
Yeah. If you're a smaller account and you want to tag us and tap into our 1,100 followers or whatever the Working Hands podcast has, go for it. We'll accept it. You know. So
very cool. I look forward to seeing what people make. Especially, I love the fact that you guys chose that one again. I think that was the first year that you guys did it. It was kind of similar, right? Where it was like
the first year was material you had never worked with.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
One of the big complaints we got with it was people like me who work a little bit in everything. Well, mm-hmm. like, or to dabble so far outside your comfort zone, it's going to be a whole expense just to buy the tools to use those.
Right.
Not everyone has a maker nearby who does other stuff. That's not what they do or know them, you know?
Right.
So this year it's just challenge yourself and pretty much prove to us why it's challenging. Is it a new material? Is it a new process? Is it something you failed at before? Is it something that you put off and made your girlfriend mad because you have a chunk of wood in your basement for 5 years without using it? You know, I don't know who that would be. I'm just saying.
Sounded very specific.
Very pointed. Yes.
Yeah. If it's not clear, just challenge yourself and then tell us why you challenged it. And then obviously it's going to be in how you tell your story as to why it was challenging to you.
Right. Like if you're struggling with probably 10 pounds of silicone.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
that's a
that.
Fun story.
Yeah. But yeah, it should be interesting. As always, we're still early. We're still, what, on the third week since it's been announced?
Yeah.
I know it ramps up towards the end, but don't wait. Don't do a project and hold on
don't
your post.
Like Dre.
Don't be like Dre. Even if you fail in your project and you have something at the finished thing that you think is a failure, post those anyway. I mean, it's something that we all can learn from, and who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... I think it's really important to kind of harp on the learning part. You know, I think that's the cool part about these challenges are just the fact that all of us get to think outside the box on what it is that a lot of people normally do, you know, to kind of take their brains and bring them outside that comfort level. That's when you start to learn things. You know, I think that's when people start to learn new hobbies and they kind of get a chance. Like not many people really get opportunities to be like, all right, let me just try something out, especially when you have any of these skills. If they're like your full-time job and you are making stuff for people all day long and you really just want an opportunity to make something for yourself or challenge yourself in a certain area, I think that's why I enjoy this challenge so much. It's just fun watching people learn those skills. It's fun to hear them even in their stories when they talk about the stuff that they're doing and when they're sharing that knowledge with other people. Like, I think it's awesome because all of us get an opportunity to learn from it. It's not just one person learning from it.
And you never know what you're going to be doing. Like, look at Brian House. He participated mm-hmm. in the first year and he did, he made a forge. And now he has a whole product line for his business of making one of the coolest forges out there that you can buy for blacksmithing, knife making, glass blowers are buying it because it's so efficient. Like, he's crushing it, you know? And I don't think it was on his mind to start before the contest. So, get out there and try something. You may open up a whole new line of revenue for your business or start a business. You never know.
Yep. It's very cool. Love it.
I don't know that anyone else has made, products off of a Make What You Fear item, have they?
Well, if only the bicycle bandsaw would be you know, commercially recognized. I think that would be pretty cool.
I think somebody sold their Make What You Fear item.
They might have.
Really?
I think Ed sold one of his knives that he made.
Oh, really? On the first year?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I think so. Yeah.
See, you guys can make money off of this thing. Just do it. Like Nike. Just do
it. I'm struggling with mine right now because I'm practicing pinstriping, trying to learn. Trying to learn it, right?
And I've been practicing. That video. Yeah.
You saw that video, right? I have about 7 more hours of video that looks just like that. And
sounds like what that's going to be like.
Yeah. And it is not riveting at all. So I have to figure out, like, I'm at the point now where I'm still trying to learn the brush strokes and everything. And once I get that down, I'm going to have to try pinstriping something and then posting like me actually making like a design, but it's not going to be good.
So, have you seen the pinstriping? Sometimes I don't even know if you'd really call it pinstriping or more just like painting that is in the style of pinstriping, where people use like guides for their hands, where they kind of glide their hand along the guide. That's the way that I would have to do it personally. And a lot of people have come up with different forms of those guides. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's some. So if you watch actual like old school pinstripers or whatever, they use like a long wooden stick as a as a prop to, yep. to so the steady wooden their stick, hand and stuff.
Yeah, the wooden stick is generally used by pinstripers, but on lettering. Like when you're going to do lettering, that's when you would do
like that. I got you. Okay.
Because you could be up and over and still have a point of contact, right? Or if you're doing a large design and it's already wet paint, you got to get over it. Then you use the stick. That is above my pay grade at the moment. So I've been watching a lot of old school videos and everything on it, and I'm trying, and I'm practicing a bit. But I found this one guy. He retired 10 years ago, but he was out of Jersey. He's like a famous whatever, and his videos on YouTube are phenomenal. So I'm going through those and learning, and it's just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I think for me it would be like the steadiness aspect, because for me, like painting, if I'm painting something where, you know, it's like a tree or whatever, like you can fudge some things up and it's gonna be fine, because A, if you're painting acrylic on top of epoxy, you can literally wipe it off. So I don't have to worry about that. But pinstriping, the fact that like these people are doing these things on like really expensive cars and like stuff where I don't really think you'd want to mess that up, like that's the part for me that would just stress me out, and I would get all shaky and it would look like a hot mess. I'm not going to lie. But it could be cool. If you can master it, man, and you can really nail it down, Keith, I feel like you could really... That's a whole
Glenn
other
Glenn Weisberger is the guy I was watching.
What's his name?
Glenn
Weisberger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the pinstriping, if you have some time to wipe off if you make a mistake, but I don't think you have a lot, do you?
I have no idea.
It depends on the reducer and the hardener that you mix into the paint. Like, okay. It's not a straight paint, so you got to mix it up. It's also going to depend on the temperature and everything. And I have found... to be able to wipe it off, I have about like maybe 20 minutes.
Well, that's not bad.
So there's time, but think about it. There's a 20-minute window, right? And if you're doing an elaborate design.
Yeah, if you've got lines and lines and lines,
yeah,
like one mistake could make the whole thing. Yeah,
one mistake. Cloud at the end.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm still on brush strokes at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like 8 hours in a practice and on brush strokes, and it's like brush strokes on glass, and then I had one where it dried up on me, so then I had to go in afterwards with a razor blade and scrape that off and start again. But I found these like PDFs you can buy online, which are like pinstripe designs, and then you put that under your glass and then you pinstripe over top
kind of
that,
tracing over it. Yeah,
makes sense.
That's when you really know that you haven't practiced enough. You know? But like it's not exciting for real. So I don't know, like I'm almost at a point now where I'm like, maybe I need to find a different project, and this will be a side thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, it's I admire the fact, A, that you posted it, B, the fact that you are learning something that I think a lot of people have also thought about learning. And then to see the approach that you take, like knowing that you're posting, okay, like I never would have thought of tracing over something on a piece of glass. You know what I mean? So like those little things, again, sometimes it's not about the actual like content itself. It's like the educational piece that's around it, you know, sharing the information of like what the paint is and like where you get your materials, like that can inspire other people to also go into something like that, you know?
Yeah. I did get a couple of people reach out to me and they were like, oh, what are you using? I always wanted to do it. Yeah. And they're going to start. Like one guy, I told him like the brushes I was using and the paints I was using. And then I got a message from him like 15 minutes later. He's like, I bought it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't wait to see what he does now, you know? Let's see what happens.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, you might have inspired somebody who 5 years from now, they're going to be like the best,
I hope.
Out there. That'd be awesome. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
It'd be cool if I was one too, you know?
Hey, listen, the more you practice, the better it gets. So, hey, I like that sticker on your water bottle. That was a really good one. The old Crafts with Dre sticker.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Do you guys remember when I was like, guys, this is going to be like a... It was going to be a limited run. And then I was like, you want to know what? I really like it. So that's mine now. I really wanted to do the holographic, but everybody thought it was a little girly. So,
and not only, it's hard to see those holographic stickers.
Yeah.
I have a couple on my sticker wall from like other makers and stuff that they give you. And the holographic one, they blend into the metal wall that it's on. But two, even if you put it on something black, it's hard to read what it is when it's too holographic.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. The angle definitely depends on the angle for sure. Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of stickers, Tony, how about we thank those patrons?
I don't know how that segues, but
it doesn't.
It totally did. Listen, in my mind, it did.
Because they stick around.
What happened was you held up the thing to show us the Crafts with Dre, and I saw Gnome Hammer.
Well, I didn't.
And a couple others, but Gnome Hammer, I have to mention after the Patreon. Yeah. So. Yeah.
You got a bunch on here. Gnome Hammer, Dean.
Yeah, I'm not.
There's a few. All right, so we'll start here with Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beck with Makes, and NB Wood Finery. And in our top tier, we have Espoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of MaritimeNiceSupply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Brian Housework of Workfort Podcast, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnome Hammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Do Construction, Daniel and Drizzy, and Andrew of Hatch Made It. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all. If you are a patron, you get the after show and the joy of supporting us and our podcast, but you also get entered into a Gnome Hammer giveaway of the month where he picks a couple podcasts that he gives something away for the patrons of, and he draws it out every week. And it is a hammer, a custom-made hammer. He's not really taking on customs at the moment, so that's the only way to get a custom Gnome Hammer hammer. The only other way is to win Make What You Fear, because he's one of our sponsors. So join us in the Patreon group for the after show and the entry into that. What do you think, Dre? You got anything else before we head on over to the after show?
No, not really. It's funny. Every single time that I hear the your Patreon group, I feel like at this point, because I've listened to you guys so often, I feel like in my mind, I know exactly who's coming next in the list because you guys always read it off in the same order, right? So, like, in my mind, I've memorized everybody who's your Patreon. Like, I just know who's coming next. But I did want to thank you guys for having me on. I always appreciate you and your support, and I love listening to you guys. So it was, of course, an honor to be on here again. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you want to get some epoxy learning going on, go over to the Catskill Mountain Makers Camp website and order a ticket for Dre's class in February. It's coming up quick. So the 9th, 10th, and 11th, if you are nearby East Orem, New York, or you can get there on that weekend, definitely go.
Yeah. Can't wait to see you guys there. It's going to be great.
I know we talked about it earlier on, but it is a unique experience when you take one of the small classes up there. You get like bonds are formed with the people that you're in class with. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We will put a link below to the Eventbrite, and I hope to be there. I hope to see you guys there. So let's sell this class out.
Yes. Can't wait to see you guys there. It's going to be great.
Tony, any parting words?
Man, a few words.
Awesome. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram, Working Hands 3 on TikTok, or workinghandspodcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review the show. 5 stars is always appreciated. And share the show with all of your friends again, because I know you did it last week, but do it again. Tell them to share with their friends. That's the only way to get us out there. With that, we're going to head on over to the after show. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Later.